have a good God. In this room, right now, probably gone that way and that way and that way and that way, there are radio signals going through this room. There's also, in this room at this point, telephone signals going through. If you have your phone on, and I'm hoping it's silent within church, there's telephone signals that go back and forwards across this room all the time. If we were near, I don't know if the houses nearby would have Wi-Fi, but in the Wi-Fi, the signals go back and forwards all the time. And if I was to Bluetooth something from me to, say, Simon at the back, that signal would go forward. So we could communicate with one another without audible words. We could communicate using our Bluetooth. There's all sorts of different forms and ways that we can communicate all over this place. A lot of them in this room we can't even see. Going on right now, all the time, back and forwards, constant communication between one another. And also, just to go on about my bees again. I caught a swarm of bees this week, by the way. I know I'll go on about them, but when they go in, when a bee goes from outside the hive into the hive, they go in, it's pitch dark. They can't see anything. And the one way they communicate is through pheromones, through smell. And hopefully those are good smells. And another way they communicate, if one bee finds a whole load of nice flowers with nice pollen in, they can go up to 2 miles away, by the way. Interesting fact of the day. So they can go up that far, and they come in, and they want to tell the other bees how to get to that nice pollen. How do they do it? Does anybody know?
Bluetooth.
They do a what?
They dance.
They do what's called a waggle dance. And I'm not going to demonstrate it. Go up. Aww. So, no, Claire's going, no, don't do it. So if the bees, if the nice flowers were, say, a mile that way, the bee would come in and it would waggle like that in that direction for the right amount of time, say it's a second per mile, and they would waggle in that direction for a second, turn back around without waggling, get in that position again, waggle, and they do that over and over, and all the other bees around it can sense where those nice flowers are. So they communicate with one another. So in our world, there's communication everywhere, all over the place. And I actually, I did this thing in a school, and I got the kids to say, you know, how will you explain to somebody else, say if somebody came from the jungle, never heard of Wi-Fi and Bluetooth, and how would you explain to them those signals that go back and forwards, and how would we communicate, how would we receive those signals, or they were kind of thinking, you'd actually have to set up a receiver. There would have to be a signal sent, and you'd have to have a receiver. And then we got on to talking about, well, that's like God and us. God is constantly, always, he wants to communicate with his people. And his signals often go past, and we don't even notice. He is constantly wanting to tell us how much he loved us, how he sent his son to die for us, how he wants us to live in his ways. He also wants to give us warnings, and his signals are constantly being sent out to us because he loves us and he wants to communicate with us. Communication is great. We all want to communicate. And when we have little children in, we want to go and communicate with them, don't we? Because their little eyes light up, and that's them communicating back to us. And you know, when they say their first word, it's like, oh. And you go up and you grab their cheek and you give a little pull and they smile. I was going to do it on somebody just then, but I thought, better not. But, you know, we want to communicate with kids, and we want them to react and communicate back. And that is like God wants and desires to communicate with us. When he was in the Garden of Eden, when he walked with Adam and Eve, he had that close communion with them. He walked with them. He talked with them. He had this open fellowship without any barriers whatsoever. That sinful nature came in and destroyed that, because God could not live with sin. But yet he sent his son down. So once again, those barriers would be completely taken down, and that he could walk with us and communicate with us once again. And I'm going to look at some verses that show us some of the ways that God communicates with us. And these are probably very simple, and you've heard them before, but it's good to have these things refreshed in our memory to know that God wants to communicate with us. And I do have some verses up on the screen, and Mark's going to give it a go. So Romans 1:20 says, "For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen." That's quite a statement. "His invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and his Godhead. For since the creation of the world..." So creation is a way that God can speak to us. We went out for a walk yesterday up Cat Bells and up the next fell after that. And it was beautiful, beautiful day. Green pastures, heather, bracken, lake. Back down for a cup of tea at Deborah's house. And it was beautiful. And just, you know, that God created that. He brought the mountains up. He gave us the grass. He gave us the fields. He gave us the water, which are beautiful. I mean, people that live in London. In fact, I met a nun yesterday from London, originally from Malta, and she was out looking at us. So this must be different to London. She said, "Yeah, it's beautiful," and it is. God's creation is amazing, absolutely amazing. Everything about it so intricate, down to the finest details of a little bee. There me going on about bees again, and how they dance and communicate with one another to the mighty heavens and the earth. And it says about 10 times in the Bible that God stretched forth the heavens and the earth. Now, scientists haven't even figured out how far the universe goes. We don't know that much, but God said he stretched it forth just like that. And the Bible says he rolled it out like a carpet, or a blanket, just whoosh, and that was it. So he stretched it out. Now, it might be a stretched view. It might look millions of years old. But God said he created it within 6 days and just went, pew, just like that. God created it. And it's amazing. And we watch these Louis Giglio videos, how he put the stars in their place. Everyone, each one in its place. That one there, the galaxies in their place. And how the moon... it goes around the earth, and the earth goes around the sun, and everything perfectly in place. If we were a few inches that way, it'd be too hot. A few inches that way, it'd be too cold. The moon pulls the tides back and forwards. Everything is perfect. Absolutely perfect. We can see God's hand in everything. Everything about creation, we can see God's hand in. And I know the arguments for those who don't believe in God, or if we got a can of Coke and said, do you believe that came about by accident? You'd think it was ridiculous to say that came about by accident, but you say, yes, somebody made the can, they put the thing in, they sealed the lid, it's all there. It's clearly seen that a can of Coke has been made by somebody, and creation has been made by God. It is so intricate, there's no way it could have come about by chance. We can see God in creation, and we can look at the animals, we can look how they move. Aeroplanes are designed on birds' wings. They finally figured out, eventually after many generations of not being able to fly, that, the curve of a bird's wings are perfectly designed for flying, and they designed their aeroplanes on that. And lots of other things, like, says, I like this verse, "Go to the ant, you sluggard." Consider the ant. Think how it is. It works really hard and it builds these massive things, and ants are only that big. They're tiny. Consider the ant. Work hard and you can build. You can build. Consider the ant, you sluggard. Consider her ways and be wise. So we can actually get, we can learn a lot from creation about how to mold and shape and build and talking about smells, Alice, and her, you know, might be like the bees, I don't know. Mixing perfumes together, we can learn from creation. Psalm 121:1 says, I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. So we're needing help. Lift up your eyes to the hills. See, God created those. This is what I do. If I say, God created that. God created Everest, or God created Cat Bells, or whichever one you're nearest to. Think, God made that. My problems are quite small. And I can rest in that, thinking, yeah, he's done that. I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence my help comes from. So God can communicate to us through creation. He can also communicate through other Christians. God can give a word to somebody, a word of encouragement, and that's why it's really important when we come to church to have something to bring to edify, a psalm, a hymn, a spiritual song, or a word of encouragement, whether that's said in front of the church or whether that's said afterwards, to communicate and encourage. We all need to learn to encourage one another more. I think it's our own natural desire to mumble and grumble, but God has given us a call to encourage and to speak to us. Encourage, challenge. And throughout the Bible, there's loads and loads of one another's. Love one another, pray for one another, encourage one another, admonish one another when it's right to do so. And all this wisdom that we can communicate, God can communicate from one person to another. Yes, we are. You are a royal priesthood. You can communicate to God yourself. You can go directly to Him. You don't have to go through another priest or a vicar or a whatever else. You can communicate to God yourself, but God can speak through others. And the Bible tells us to not despise prophecies, but test everything. Test whether it's true with the word of God and test whether it's right in your heart. And James 3 says, but the wisdom that is from above, or wisdom that's from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So when we give a word, it's always got to be for the aim. To bring peace to the lives of somebody else, even when you're challenging them in an area. And if people don't speak to you, God can sometimes raise up even a donkey to speak. I know that Ian said once that, if God can raise up a donkey to speak, then He could raise up me to speak. That's what he said. And he says, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, Numbers 22, and he said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you struck me these three times? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you abused me, and I wish there was a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So a donkey spoke out to Balaam. So we're not talking about Shrek here. I wonder if that's where they got their idea, but God opened the mouth of the donkey so that he could speak. To Balaam. So God can speak through Christians. And just a side issue, on one occasion in the Bible, God used a donkey to speak to Balaam. We can also communicate to God and receive from God in prayer, which is the obvious one. The obvious one that God is constantly communicating or trying to communicate with us. It's like He's always trying to say something to us, to edify us and to shape us and to mold us. And God has said that He will finish the good work that He started within us. And that's done through constant encouragement. And by the words of His mouth are we changed. Like the words of God's mouth, the earths were created. And God can and will finish the work that He started within us. That's a promise in the Bible. It may not happen perfectly while we're on earth. But in Christ, God can finish the work that He started within us. And as I said, there was no hands up before for us being perfect, but God wants to finish the work within us. So just looking at Romans 8. As we pray to God, sometimes we just don't know how to communicate. You know, our kids, when they were little, sometimes they become really frustrated when they're trying to communicate something, but they can't. And you can see it in their eyes and their temperament that they're just trying to communicate what they want, and they struggle. And sometimes it's difficult for us as human beings to communicate with God exactly how we're feeling. But Romans 8 says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. God has given us the gift of his Holy Spirit. Jesus spoke about leaving his Holy Spirit, who would reveal all things about himself. And the Holy Spirit can groan within us and can help us to pray, can help us to say the things that we're trying to express. When I was younger, I found my prayer life was difficult. And then somebody laid hands on me, and I went home and I prayed in the Spirit and I prayed in tongues, and it felt like my prayer life went from that narrow just opened up. And I was able to express things that I didn't understand, but that God understood. And I prayed with the Spirit, and I did that quietly in my bedroom, and I pray in church, and I know many of us do, and we give utterances that we don't understand. The Spirit groans, and the Holy Spirit knows exactly what the need is in our life and knows what we need to pray for. And sometimes we don't understand, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. John 14, as I said before, said, I will pray, this is Jesus speaking, I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be able to abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you, and he will be in you. So this world, the Holy that doesn't see the Holy Spirit, that is communicating back and forth constantly, like the Wi-Fi or the Bluetooth through here, but the Spirit is constantly interceding. But it says, you know him. If you are born again, then you know the Spirit of God. If you've been born spiritually, you can communicate with God, and those signals can be sent out, and knowing that they go directly to the throne of God. Imagine that. The God who created the heavens and the earth and the universe, and when we pray in the Spirit, it goes directly to God and he hears us. And those, like the little frustrated children trying to communicate, well, we can know that our prayers go to God in the Spirit because we know him. And he dwells within us, and he will be in us. So we can communicate to God in prayer. We can also communicate to God through music. Music is a brilliant communicator. You know, there's things that we can express in music that we can't express in any other way. And you know, and there's things that can be communicated. How many love songs is there? You know, people trying to communicate their love between two people. And usually when they sing it, often it's not very loving, or the people who sing it aren't very loving. But when we sing to God, God hears that from the depths of our heart. We can communicate. And that's why we have music at church. We worship together. We sing because we can express in a way that we can express no other way. And we can communicate with God. You know, I'm a man who is not always flowing in my emotions, as many men struggle with. So, I'm just kidding. But yeah, we don't always express it. But when the music comes on, we can it opens something up within us where we can actually express. And not only in the music, in the way that, you know, we can raise our hands, we can sing, we can dance if we want to. You know, we can communicate with God in a way that we can't in any other when the music comes on. You know, I've preached in a church where there's loads of Africans, and when they worship, they're not shy. Their feet move and their arms go, and they're everywhere, and they express and communicate in a way that I think, us folk maybe don't find as comfortable. But we have that freedom to do it if we wanted to communicate with God in our songs. And that's why it says, you know, come with a psalm, a hymn, or spiritual song. Or as you're, you know, when I was in the milking parlor, that's when I got closest to God, and I would often sing. Or some, Ian used to walk in, I don't think he might have called it singing, but it was a noise coming from the depths of my being to God. And I could communicate in a way that I couldn't communicate in any others. If we look at Chronicles, you know, about how God sometimes, when the Israelites were going into battle, they went out with the musicians first. Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe his prophets, and you will prosper." And when Ian consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord, and they should praise the beauty of his holiness, as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, and who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. So sometimes, whatever our enemy is, sometimes if we go forth in singing, sometimes God can set the ambushes, and God can deal with the problem when we deal with it. You know, when Paul and Silas were in prison, what did they do? They sang hymns. They sang. And sometimes God, we can communicate with God and he can hear us through our music. Psalm 68 says, "They have seen your procession, O God, the procession of my God, my King in the sanctuary. The singers went before, the players and instruments followed after. Among them were maidens playing timbrels." So in one, it was men singing. Another one, it was women singing. Miriam went out to lead the women in worship. You know, singing and making music and melody in her heart, God has given us that gift to communicate. And we can use that to enhance our relationship and our communication with God. God can also communicate with us in visions and in dreams. Like we've heard this morning, sometimes God gives us little pictures. Now, dreams are, like the ones we have at night, sometimes they're just weird, aren't they? You know, you think, how did I even think of that? Or something that you saw maybe 10 years ago comes up in a dream and you think, what on earth was all that about? But God can communicate to us now, and he often did, you know, with Joseph. And in Acts 2 it says, "It shall come to pass in the last days, said God, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." I still have visions. Anybody dreaming dreams? Absolutely. But whatever way, God can communicate. And like I said before, with prophecy, from Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 20, it says, don't despise prophecies. So if somebody has a dream or a vision, don't despise it, but it does say test it. I think many dreams can come from our own flesh and our own desires and can be dreamt out in that manner. But some dreams and visions are from God, and we should test them. And if it lines up with Scripture, and if it seems good and it's loving and peaceable, or if it's to warn or correct in love, then we should not despise them. We should look, because God can speak in dreams and visions. You think about Peter and Cornelius in Acts 10. You know, each one of them had a vision, and that brought the Jews and the Gentiles together and gave them a revelation of how God was there for the Gentiles as well. But God spoke to them in visions. Acts 18 verse 9 says, "Now the Lord spoke to Paul in the night by vision. He said, 'Do not be afraid, but speak, and do not keep silent. For I am with you, and no one will attack you or hurt you. For I have many people in this city. And I'm sure when Paul was in those situations in prison, after getting whipped and beaten, he thought, I just don't want to go on. You know, I would imagine you would feel like that. But that God spoke to Paul by vision, do not be afraid and do not keep silent, for I am with you and no one will attack or hurt you. For I have many people in that city. That's things that Paul wouldn't have known by his own natural strength. But God spoke in a dream and a vision to communicate. God wants to communicate with us. God longs to speak to us. As we love to speak to children and get them to communicate with us, He wants to speak to us. He wants to assure your heart. He wants to say, do not be afraid. And God wants us to communicate well with one another. You know, it says in Matthew 18, if you have a problem with a brother, go directly to them. Go and speak to them. And the purpose is so that you gain a brother. It doesn't say, get a bit offended, check with a few friends, have a bit of gossip, and then go to the person. It says, go directly to the person for the purpose of gaining that brother. That's how we are to communicate with one another. There's other, you know, it goes on to say if they won't listen, there's other instructions to do. But the purpose is to try and gain a brother, to communicate well with one another. And it is difficult. It takes some bravery to do that in certain circumstances. But God wants us to communicate well with one another, to gain a brother or a sister in Christ. Hallelujah. I think I've communicated for long enough now. But my purpose is that God does love us. He wants to have that relationship that He had with Adam and Eve in the garden. And through Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on the cross, that has been opened up once again. And we can walk with Him. And it says in the Bible, where two or three are gathered, then He is right there in the midst of them. So He is here this morning. He has spoken. And He wants to continue to communicate with you throughout this week.